Last week, Claudia Tenney was sworn in by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to represent New York's 22nd Congressional District. The formal ceremony for the Central New York Republican might have seemed like the final chapter in the long, drawn-out counting of votes in the contentious rematch between Tenney and now former Representative Anthony Brindisi, but the saga continues as it was announced this week that the elections commissioners for Oneida County, who oversaw numerous election administration mistakes in the race, were resigning. The move comes after all the local boards involved in the race and the state's election laws received months of intense scrutiny that has led for calls to reform how New York handles its elections. To make sense of everything that went down, including the resignations, we're joined by Josh Rosenblatt, senior reporter for the CBS affiliate in Binghamton, WBNG 12 News, who has been following this drama for months. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Happy to be here.
So, Josh, in recent days and week, there has been a lot of criticism of how the Oneida County Board of Elections handled the 2020 election to the point where local and state leaders were calling on their elections commissioners to resign. What did they do during this whole process, you know, prior to and after Election Day that has elicited such strong reactions?
There's a lot of different answers to that because obviously we have seen such a plethora of errors in this race. I would start by saying they're not the only Board of Elections that made errors. At least seven of the eight made some pretty substantial errors
definitely.
In the race. But they definitely did make the worst of the errors, as Justice Del Conte wrote in several of his rulings. It starts even before Election Day, even though we didn't find out about it until much, much later. But from the end of September until the registration deadline, which I believe is early to mid-October, they essentially stopped processing voter registrations that were sent to them by the Department of Motor Vehicles. And it ended up being a little more than 2,400 voter registrations that, for whatever reason, that still hasn't really come out yet, the Oneida County Board of Elections just stopped processing them. So when those voters went to show up on Election Day to vote, they were told they were unregistered. And some of them filed affidavit ballots, and those ended up being counted in the end. There's a little over 600 to 700 of those that did file them. But as the justice found in many of his rulings, there's an untold number. Nobody really knows how many people walked away from the polling site. And they, at least in the justice's ruling, they were found they should have been registered. So that was probably the biggest glaring error. And one of the more at least surprising things to me was it didn't come out until mid-January, early to mid-January. And so this was months after the process had already started that the court and by extension the public was made aware of this, unfortunate whatever may have been in the end. So that was primarily the biggest one. I think when we'll look back on the race, we'll go, that's really where the biggest problem lies. But besides that, I mean, New York passed what's known colloquially as the motor voter law back in 2019, which essentially says if you are registered to vote in New York and you are somewhere else at the time of the election, you can still vote where you are registered. And this has been in place for three or four election cycles, depending on if you had primaries in both 2019 and 2020. And yet Oneida County failed to follow, according to the Justice Del Conte, they failed to follow this law. So there is about 700 votes that weren't counted that should have been. And what's egregious, at least on face value about that, is the fact that it has been in place already. This wasn't a new law specific to November 2020. This had already been in place. So that kind of begs the question, you know, did they follow the law in previous elections and didn't this one? Or has that been something they've been ignoring since it was instituted back in 2019? So that was also one of the Oneida specific, kind of crucial errors, we should say, that really led to the commissioner resignations that we just saw this week. And then, of course, there's Sticky Gate, everyone's favorite. Where instead of writing on the ballots, they used sticky notes to annotate what challenges and objections had been made. And of course, in transit, when those were sent to the courthouse, many of the sticky notes came off. There was a couple ballots with two sticky notes. Essentially, both commissioners testified in court that they had no way of knowing which votes had been counted already and what the objections were made. So they weren't the only ones to not mark the individual ballots, but the option of sticky notes was unique to them in this race. So those to me are probably the three biggest issues that we saw in Oneida County.
Well, and you mentioned that Oneida County was not the only county in the 22nd Congressional District that has received criticism for how it ran the November election and how it handled the counting of absentee votes in the aftermath. Can you talk about what some of the other local boards did, which, you know, might call into question how they administered the elections?
Probably the biggest issue outside of those three that we saw was the finding of ballot in Shenango County, which is a northern kind of central New York county, pretty rural in area. And on two separate occasions, they found ballots well after they had been cast that hadn't already been canvassed. So one time they found 12 ballots that were stuffed in a drawer, and the other time they found 55 ballots just kind of, you know, hanging out in the Board of Elections office, none of which had been tuffed. And I spoke to several elections commissioners during my reporting over the past few months, and one of them, Dustin Zarni in Onondaga County, which is home to the city of Syracuse, he said it's not super uncommon to find maybe one or maybe two ballots, that kind of get lost in the shuffle of things. But even he was taken aback to hear of just kind of the quantity of how many ballots kind of slipped through the cracks in Shenango County. So that was definitely one of the bigger ones. Outside of that, I mean, we had tons of voting calculation errors. One of the more memorable ones was in Herkimer County, where the numbers had shown Brindisi, the Democrat, had taken about a 13-vote lead after the latest numbers were reported. And then a few days later, over the weekend, it was reported that tabulation errors in Herkimer County had actually resulted in a 25-vote swing towards Tenney, which basically flipped the race completely from a 13-vote Brindisi lead to a 12-vote Tenney lead. And that was the lead up until the last process that kind of saw the election pan out the way it did. But as the justice noted in several of his rulings, seven of the eight counties made errors, mainly in the canvassing process, whether it being through which ones the commissioners rejected, not giving the two campaigns enough chances to reject those objections or challenge them. There was a lot of different errors we saw, especially with the counting, not marking the ballots. You know, Oneida County used sticky notes, which gave us sticky gates, but there were several, none of the other counties individually marked them. The only county that wasn't found to have made any errors, Tioga County, didn't actually have any ballots to be objected to. So it's pretty easy to say that most of the errors weren't unique to Oneida County, and it really is kind of shown a lot, I guess, the intense scrutiny that there were problems kind of lying underneath the surface here in New York 22.
We're discussing the mistakes made during the counting of votes in the hotly contested race for New York's 22nd Congressional District, which represents central New York and was decided by a slim margin. Our guest is Josh Rosenblatt, a senior reporter for the CBS affiliate in Binghamton, who has been following this election for months. So these mistakes that you've outlined, whether it's the use of sticky notes or problems with how ballots were counted, are these examples of the local boards of elections violating, you know, state election laws that are on the books in terms of how this process is supposed to work? Or are these decisions something that likely is the product of a vacuum in state election law, basically saying, you know, there's not a clear process in how this sort of thing should be handled, especially in a year like 2020, where we had a record level of absentee votes?
So I think a lot of those questions are still unanswered. But in doing, you know, my reporting over the past few months, I've spoken to several election experts. One of them, Luke Perry, he's an associate professor of government at Utica College in Oneida County. And one of the things he brought up to me that I think is really interesting is a lot of New York's laws were intended for pre-pandemic times. And they weren't really adjusted in his eyes. And Dustin Zarni, the Onondaga BOE commissioner, also hinted at this and, you know, mentioned this a few times as well, is that we weren't really prepared, it seems, for a rush of absentee ballots. You know, the system, at least according to them and some of the other people I've spoken to, wasn't designed for half of people to send in absentee ballots or a majority of voters to vote by absentee ballot. And so when we did get such a rush, at least in from what I've seen, is that the system wasn't adequately prepared for it. So I think in talking to these people and, you know, kind of picking their brains to see where the problems might lie, I think it really is, it was a combination of a lot of different things in state laws that were meant to help voters, but maybe didn't give the resources to the boards of election to actually implement all of the things they needed to. And that was also another problem. You know, there's certainly some issues in this race, such as the DMV failure to register or the motor voter law, that, you know, Mr. Zerny and Mr. Perry and pretty much everyone else has told me, you know, that's on Oneida County. You know, there's certain issues that are strictly made by the BOEs. But to be fair to them, they also weren't given the resources, it seems, to prepare themselves for it. And so a lot of the decisions, you know, we can look back on and second guess now, but in an unprecedented circumstance like the one we saw in 2020, when you have a race that comes down to, in the end, 109 votes, but for a long time was within a dozen votes, that intense scrutiny is going to show a lot of problems that we might not have found out about otherwise.
Well, then, with those caveats, why did the Oneida County Elections Commissioners have to resign?
From the people I have spoken to, whether it be the Oneida County Executive, Anthony Vicente, who called for the resignation publicly 2 weeks ago at this point, or whether it be some of the other, you know, elections commissioners I've spoken to, I think the sense that I've gotten from everyone I've spoken to is there needed to be some kind of accountability. And so while all of the counties, to an extent, made some errors or another, we didn't see most of the ones that were specific to Oneida. We didn't see those in other counties. It was actually Claudia Tenney during one of our interviews I did with her who said to me, you have to ask yourself at some point, why are these problems in this county but not anywhere else in this district? So I think for things like the failure to register 2,400 voters, you know, which is essentially a disenfranchisement, or not following the motor voter law that had already been in place for, you know, a few election cycles. Mr. Zerny said to me at one point, he's like, you know, I go to bat for election commissioners all over. And when I asked him if they should resign, he even stayed away from that. But he did say, he's like, they're going to find themselves in some positions that were untenable. There's really not a great reason that I've heard yet for some of these mistakes. And so in the end, I think it was pretty clear something had to happen, whether they resigned or some other kind of change came about. But I definitely think due to some of the errors they made that others didn't, I don't want to say the writing was on the wall, but it was pretty clear that there's going to have to be some kind of investigation or looking into determine why those errors only happened in Oneida, not anywhere else.
Well, we've been speaking with Josh Rosenblatt, senior reporter for the CBS affiliate in Binghamton, WBNG 12 News, who's been covering the drama in NY22 for months and is likely to open up his own election law office sometime in the near future. Josh, thank you so much for making the time.
Dave, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.